Okay, boys and girls, moms and dads, and children of all ages. It's another one of those radio fishing, area fishing report things. And Fishing Frank here with Robert in the chair across from me. And we're going to tell you all about who, what, where, how, when, why, and all the other W's involved in everything. Fish-wise, that is. So we got lots of W's and one F. Figure out what it all explains to yourself. I mean, there's got to be a personal explanation in there somewhere. And Fishing Frank here, let's get started. Good morning, Robert.
Good afternoon, morning, Robert. Frank.
Yeah, it's late.
Yeah, it should have been good morning.
Yeah, it should have been good morning.
It's fault.
Good afternoon. Yes, it was, as a matter of fact. just admit it because it's true, but I was late this morning. If I would have been here on time, it would have happened. But hauling around Carl's boat and having, you know, when you're moving a boat trailer, I do not care if you're moving it from your yard and backing in a new position in your yard, or if you're going on a 200-mile trip, whether it's moving at 15 feet or 200 miles, always, always connect the chains.
Absolutely.
I mean, this morning again, had a boat come off, the hitch didn't latch exactly correct, and I'm pulling it out of the yard, and next thing you know, I see the tongue come up, the tongue goes down, it drags through the ground, pops up, hits the blacktop, bounces around for a while, comes at the truck. I just kept the truck rolling forward very slowly and I just took my foot off the gas and let the trailer stop the truck. Don't ever hit the brake, folks.
No.
Because as soon as you hit the brakes, the trailer comes smashing into the back of your truck. And now you've poured salt and vinegar in a very open wound. The chains will keep you right there, and it's no big deal. Okay, let everything slow down on its own, and that way you don't get any extra bangs in the back of your vehicle. And I don't know why, but I've pulled I probably have close to 1,000,000 miles on the road pulling boat trailers and all this other kind of trailers and stuff, and I've had them come off many times over the years. Just the latch system on those trailers is not the best.
It's not foolproof either.
Well, that's exactly right. They're just not the best, and they do tend to pop up. Even if you have a pin in them, sometimes it just hits the right angle and it will come off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the chains are for. But the biggest point I'm trying to make is don't hit the brakes, for God's sake. It'll bounce around back there, it'll sway around. Just kind of think of a marlin coming out of the water, boom, 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 splash it back and forth, and you know, yeah, you should be all right. But as soon as you hit the brakes, A, the chains loosen up and can fall off, disconnect from the truck entirely.
Yes.
Which is not cool
either. Real bad news.
So, anyway, always use the chains whether you're moving 15 feet or 2 seconds with the chain can save you a huge amount of aggravation. So, again, that happened to me this morning. Again, the trailer popped off the hitch. In this case, it was my fault. I didn't properly latch down the tab. I pushed it down. But I forgot that old trailer, you literally got to slam it with your foot. And I just put it down with my hand, and I went back there to look, and it had popped up. It was just my fault. I didn't stomp on it. I know to take my foot.
Hit it with a hammer.
Yeah, well, same thing. I take my foot, and I make sure it's slammed down and properly latched. And
right.
I said, I'm not going very far. I'm just going from here right there. You know, what difference does it make? Boing! Hey, look at me! I'm dancing!
At least you didn't hurt your truck.
No, I didn't put a scratch in the truck. Yeah, that's because the first time it happened to me, I scratched up the back of that truck pretty thoroughly. Nice bang from the tongue hitting the tailgate, and then it went back, and it came back, and it hit the bumpers. I had a big scratch and nick in the bumper, big dent in the tailgate. I learned no brakes.
Right.
I'm dumb, but I'm not completely stupid. So, anyway, fishing report.
All right.
We got to learn to shut up. Maybe do this in the middle of the show.
Right. Where shall we start? We got a lot of options. Let's start. It's been windy, so it's been a little on the tricky side.
So we can start in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
Not a clue, except I've had some email reports.
Yeah.
And
it's starting to turn on big time.
1 mile offshore, 20 to 30 pound king mackerel.
Yep.
I mean, within a mile of shore. Now, the reason I'm kind of going, wow, 1 mile, is because the wind coming out of the north and east, that 1 mile is still nice, clean water.
Yep.
It's not that rough right there.
Yep.
So
it doesn't get rough until that 2 to 4 mile mark.
Right. It's still pretty calm because the wind's blowing from land out onto the water, so it's real slick right next to shore, and then it has to build up. But it does take a while to build up. And a mile, while it's a long ways, and you will be bumpy, but you won't be dangerous bumpy.
Yeah.
But Yeah.
Yeah, there have been the Kings out there, the Spanish Mackerel, the few guys that got out just before since we did this report last Friday. You know, there's been some gags out there, but the guys are really struggling with them. Most of the guys are catching them trolling. The Bonita are starting to show up out there. The mangrove snapper and lane snappers are doing really, really good. The one thing that has changed with those mangroves is that the passes have kind of slowed down a little bit this week. You know, I don't know if it's because there's finally been...
I think they just finally caught them all.
Yeah, they might have.
I don't know. It's been such good snapper fishing for so long. It's not an unlimited supply.
Right.
I think they could be starting to move to other areas, but I think they've just been taxed out. I mean, they've got all the best snapper out of it.
They've and been the culling dumb ones.
Them. Yeah, all the, you know, it started with the not-so-bright cousins, worked down to your, you know, relatively bright, you know, in-law fish, and now it's down to, yeah, just those last few. And the smarter ones, I think, are leaving, but I think they've just been kind of tacked.
Yeah. Then there's just right, literally, like, let's say, walking along the beach. You know, the snook are still out there pretty good. Gulf temperature was at 79 degrees this morning. And it's going to be slowly dropping down a little bit unless it warms up this coming week. Let's see.
I'm going to take a quick trip on to fishandfranks.com. I'll check the weather for this week. Go ahead.
Okay. The snook are still all over the places, especially closer to the passes. Pompano are scattered up and down literally from Sarasota all the way down to Fort Myers. I'm hearing good mixed reports of them. Seems like they're getting better each couple days, hearing more and more consistent reports on them. Same way with flounder.
Now, by Sunday, we have an air temp of about 88, so it's not going to cool down much.
Okay, so it'll probably stay consistent, maybe even come up a degree.
Yeah, well, tonight we're going to hit 57 degrees, and then we're going to be staying 59, 60, but then by Monday, Tuesday, we're looking at a low of about 70 degrees at night, so okay. 67. So it shouldn't raise up, but it's not going to drop much more. So okay. At 79 is a great fishing temperature.
Perfect, absolutely. So, I mean, that's good for every species pretty much.
Yeah, it's I don't think it's going to drop much, and we might get one more degree out of it, but or two, but not much. I think it's going to pretty much stay there.
Okay. There have been a few big bull reds cruising in and out of the surf, especially first thing in the morning right at first light. And then in the passes, too, there's been a few big redfish cruising in and out of there, too. Haven't heard of any of the big schools offshore.
You know, it's funny, because I always tell you I'm going on fishandfranks.com to find out all this stuff. We had a TV news crew in here this morning because they were talking about red tides and all the rest of this stuff. And I said, well, it's really easy, guys. And I brought them in here and said, fishandfranks.com, weather and tides, red tide button. And I said, here, this is the areas that have some, this has. And then I explained to them about water flow, currents, and eddies, which you can't find anywhere because I haven't had time to type all that up. But
right.
It was just funny. When I do tell you I go on to fishandfranks.com for all this stuff, it is there. It's all easy to find.
Right. There's just a lot of information there to go through, so it's really
you got to click cool. A lot of buttons. You got to go right. Through a lot of pages, but you will find what you're looking for usually.
Absolutely.
It's getting to be a little too big.
And yeah.
Advertisement, and we'll be back in 30 seconds after this quick commercial. Hi, this is Fish and Frank, and we have a new Fish and Frank's gift store, the boutique of Fish and Frank's, with all kinds of Fish and Frank's memorabilia on it. And you can call 941-625-3888, and we will help you with it. Or you can simply order online anything from gift certificates, shirts, memorabilia, keychains, and necklaces. And now back to our regularly scheduled program. I couldn't help myself.
Nice.
I'm bored. Okay.
That's funny. That's good stuff. Coming up into the let's go down further south. Let's go down in through Redfish Pass. Those passes down there, like Captiva and Redfish Pass, there's been some better red fishing, a few oddball gags, but coming just inside there, closer towards St. James City, there's been a lot of redfish, but they're scattered. There's no real big schools that I've heard of, but a lot of better quality fish, you know, in that upper slot to just barely oversize range, up along the bushes, underneath a lot of the docks, some of the deeper sand holes. Some of those deeper sand holes are starting to get a few more trout in them, but not a lot, but a lot of black-nosed sharks, some bonnet heads, a few pompano and Spanish mackerel.
Well, one thing that's hitting the Gulf, and I just went on because I did a pretty big page on it on the website, and it's like the number two Bonita page on Google. I didn't realize it was that popular, actually, to go back and upgrade it. Bonita, you're going to catch a lot of those offshore right now.
Uh-huh.
And where especially you're fishing for kings, that mile out, I mean, as soon as you get out, you get 15, 20, 30 feet of water. Start looking for the mackerel and the kings and the bonita and all that. I think they're coming in to feed on all that bait right up by the shore right now. And bonita is not an excellent eating fish. It looks like a tuna, fights like a tuna, acts like a tuna, but they're so powerful, and they get it because they have just a huge amount of blood. I mean, and they have huge blood vessels, and I mean, the blood goes everywhere in these fish, and when you catch them, the tiniest cut will just bleed all over the boat everywhere. But there's so much iron in their blood, when you fillet them, they get kind of a tin can taste to them.
You can actually smell the blood.
It has an iron, and it's actually very, very potent blood. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. very true. But they do have a couple of recipes off here. I found different places, and one that they all seem to have one thing in common. They cook the bonita and take it into little flakes and then mix it with either rice or something, and dried shaved bonita flakes. You know what I mean? You can use them, but it's more like a filler.
Right.
Like a crab cake recipe would be, or what are those puff things you get in the Keys? The conch fritters. Yeah, that's how you kind of use a bonita. So they are an edible fish. There's nothing wrong with the meat as far as it's not edible. It's just not palatable.
Right.
You know, so
if you like something that's very strong flavored, they're good.
Or you can just use them and take the fillet and cook it and then break it into little flaky pieces and then mix it with a rice dish or something like that as part of the whole dish. And that seems to be how they're making the bonita edible. And people say it's really, really good that way, because by using a little bit of it with the filler, like a rice cake or whatever it is, rice patties, it adds the flavor to the meat, or the meat leaches out through the flavor of the other stuff, so you actually taste it, but it's not as overpowering.
Very cool.
But bonita look like a tuna. You can tell them very easily by the squiggly lines.
Yeah.
They got squiggly lines all over them where the regular tuna don't have those squiggles to them.
Right.
But you go on fishandfranks.com, click the fish ID, and you'll see the bonita. But I've had three emails. Oh, they're amazing with light tackle. The same as thing I use for trout and everything, because you don't care if you catch them or not. So you just want something that's a really good battle. If you're going to catch and release them, this is a tough, tricky fish to catch and release alive. And you really want to keep them down in the water as much as possible. If you're going to take a picture, flatten the barbs on your treble hook, because just popping a treble hook out will make them bleed extensively. And so I don't use barbs on my treble hooks, or if I'm using a bait, in which I usually don't, I use a jig or a spoon. They hit them too readily. Small
like a little bucktail.
Yeah, little tiny stuff, pompano size stuff.
Yep.
That's what you got to throw. They're heavy. You can get a lot of distance out of them, but they're tiny. And if it's more than 3 inches long, they will not hit it. Throw that 4-inch, 5-inch spoon on them all day, and all you're going to get is frustrated. Use that little inch and a half to 2-3-inch spoon. Smaller it is, the heavier it is, the better you're going to catch them.
Absolutely. You know, and you can catch them trolling, you can catch them casting, you know, you can chum them up. There's a lot of different varieties or ways to catch them. So,
but I always try and think, if I'm not going to, and only keep one for bait, they're huge, a lot of meat, or to eat, make sure you like it. But if you're going to catch and release them, make sure you get rid of the barbs as much as possible. Keep your lines tight and get them out, get them back in the water quick, and hold the tail. Don't shake them around, just hold the tail until the fish starts to undulate. I love that word. You know, it reminds me of the 70s. Anyway, you know, and then even all of a sudden that fish will just take off, shoot out of your hands. You know, well, there was, never mind, but you know.
Another thing that works for them too, as long as you know they're in pretty fair shape when you get them up to the boat, you can torpedo them. That seems to really get them kicking. You know, but you got to make sure that you feel 100% comfortable that you didn't wear them out, because for some reason with any of the tunas, actually kind of launching them into the water really gets their momentum of their tail going to keep them kicking even better.
Yeah, if they're still wiggling pretty good in your hand when you take the hook out, you just point them at the water and like a lawn dart, and I mean give them a good zoom into the water as fast as you know, just really hard head
first.
It's
one of the few fish that really works well on. A lot of people do it with a lot of other species of fish. Definitely not the right way to do it, but for some reason those real cylindrical species like tuna, even some of your mackerels, getting them to launch through the water stimulates them because they're always so used to going in that hard, fast forward motion, gets their body, their muscle memory to kick off, and they start swimming almost immediately.
Clear!
Yeah.
Clear!
Exactly. Exactly. It works out pretty well. So it's a pretty good way to do things.
Jump start.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that couple batteries off the battery. Jumper cables. Doctor, will he live? He lives.
Okay. I could see somebody doing that.
I could do it.
You know, like southern fishing. We get the jumper cables out. We're going to go catch some fish.
Okay, right. And we won't go to old stories.
Back into the sound.
Go ahead.
As you're working your way up the sound, going north along the intercoastal side of Pine Island, literally all the bushes, sand holes. I mean, it's really starting to come to life out there with a variety of species. So take your time, work everything thoroughly. Don't spend a lot of time in one spot. Move around because the fish are doing the same thing. You've got trout might be heavily concentrated around Captiva rocks, but you move 100 yards north of there and might not find a single thing until you get up to Yuseppa. So you got to kind of move around a lot out there to find some of your targeted species, but they are starting to get more and more plentiful each day. Sheep's head are starting to trickle in a tiny, tiny bit. But a lot of these are little fish that are just kind of moving in, checking things out. Temperature's not right, food's not right, and then they're disappearing back into the passes or the nearshore reefs and then coming right back in again, a few sticking around. So it's still wishy-washy on some of them, but it's enough where you got to kind of be ready for all of it. You know, you want your small light rods, you want your bigger structure rods, you want a bigger rod for tarpon. Just a good mixed variety down there, and that's kind of up and down the entire intercoastal. Snook have been the weird one this week. I haven't heard of killer phenomenal reports anywhere down in the sound except for Placida at night, and then also the backside of Little Gasparilla. Those have been about the two main reports of like decent snook activity. A lot of little small chicken snook I'm hearing about down in the sound and over towards Bull and Turtle, but mainly just right there around Placida area seems to be the better concentration of nicer sized fish. If you go around Pine Island down towards Matt Lachey, got quite a few redfish as you get closer to the Indian fields, but they're still scattered, just moving around a lot. Same way with the little snook, few trout. A lot of juvenile tarpon kind of around those Cape Coral canals and moving up inside the Cape Coral canals. They're getting real, real loaded up with those juvenile tarpon, which is kind of cool. Haven't heard much about it in a couple weeks, but this week I had a couple of guys in that were pretty excited about the activity they're seeing down in there.
Oh, Port Charlotte canals are just going nuts with tarpon. Yeah. I mean, it's just unlike Donkey Kong right now.
And if we want to talk about tarpon in general, we'll jump right into that real quick. Everywhere in the Port Charlotte canals and the PGI canals are just loaded with a lot of the juvenile fish. The Peace River has still got some adults and juvenile fish rolling around, but still, like we talked about last week, from the 41 bridge all the way down to Cape Hayes throughout the whole center of the harbor, there's been good numbers of tarpon. Yesterday, they were from primarily in the lower 20-foot hole down to Cape Hayes, and they were following the birds. If you're looking for birds out there anywhere in the center of the harbor, that's kind of where those tarpon have been concentrated the last couple days. But over to the east side a little bit towards Burnt Store, that activity's been a little on the slower side, and I think part of it's because of the wind. We haven't been getting a lot of reports the last 3 days. But the redfish are still scattered down there. The snook, some pompano. A few more black-nosed sharks have moved over on that side, on the outside edge of the reef. I've been getting some mixed reports of those. Lots and lots of bonnetheads starting to move up onto the flats now. getting more and more consistent reports of bonnet heads everywhere on the flats. There's probably some better ones even as you move up a little bit further, but the visibility's pretty terrible. So don't frustrate yourself with it, but keep an eye out for them. Been a few oddball cobia around, enough worth mentioning, but not any great big size fish. Most of them are on the smaller size to slightly under the bag, under the size limit. Hobbs Point, lots of mangrove snapper still, some good redfish, lots of little snook, a few juvenile tarpon, especially up inside Pirate Harbor. And then there's been some pompano kind of moving in and out of there, mainly right at that first little entrance up until you get to that first opening. They've been in there hit or miss, but they have been there where it's worthwhile keeping an eye out for them. Lots of little trout starting to show up around out there on the flats and in through the channel going into Pirate Harbor. Not a lot of big ones, but a few worth mentioning anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Pirate Harbor's actually been picking up, I mean, day by day. As the temperature drops, it's kind of like a renowned through the trout world that, okay, the water's getting cool, let's go to Pirate Harbor.
You know? Right, exactly. As you work your way from Pirate Harbor up to Alligator Creek, there's still quite a few redfish over there and some snook, but it's been real spotty. Most of that stuff has been within that first mile of Pirate Harbor. Even that less than that half a mile above Pirate Harbor down has been the best. As you get a little further north, a little sporadic. Spanish mackerel have been on the outside edge of the bar over towards the Alligator Creek Reef, but it's been strictly on an incoming tide with any consistency to it. It's not gangbusters, but it's been pretty consistent. But you follow that incoming tide, you'll find the fish. But as soon as that tide starts to turn around, they're running right back out and following that tide line. And a lot of those birds are following it, too, because of the amount of bait fish that are kind of following it.
Yeah.
Out on the Alligator Creek Reef itself, a lot of mangrove snapper. Mainly on the southern end, like from the halfway point down. Some small cobia. A few legal gags. I've had a couple guys get into some legal gags. One guy got a 28-incher out there the other day. Most of them are right in that 22 to 24-inch range, though. Undersized cobia. Lots of tarpon been there, kind of moving in and out of there. Haven't heard of anything else out of the ordinary there. That's worth really getting super excited about. As you get up towards like Whore Point and over towards the Alligator Creek along that whole the skating rink area, there's been some redfish there, but they've been really, really hit or miss. And I'm not really sure why. Just haven't gotten any great reports.
No, I don't. And, you know, not everywhere can be great all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
What else are you going
to
say?
Right. As you get up to PGI, we already talked about all the tarpon everywhere, but there is a lot of black drum, quite a few mangrove snapper around up inside there. The other thing I've been getting some good reports on in both the Port Charlotte canals and over there in the PGI canals is the croaker starting to show back up again a little bit more. Had quite a few guys bringing that up lately. They're catching one or two. A couple guys are catching more net, but it's kind of neat to see more of them around.
Yeah, I don't know where they went for so long, but the croaker's a good eating fish, and you're saying, okay, what does a croaker look like? Well, we can break it down really easy. It looks like a redfish with no spots.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how else you would describe it, but that's about as accurate as I can get, is that...
The ones I catch in my canal on a very rare occasion have almost faint diagonal lines going down them. They're not real pronounced like lateral lines, but it's almost like a faint diagonal lines going from their head back towards their tail, but going in a downward position. But they definitely are like a redfish without the spot is the easiest way to describe them. What else is going on in there? That's about it. The snook have been okay, but it's mainly been chicken snook at night, you know, and a few during the daytime.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with the big snook, because we had so many big snook just a little while ago.
Right.
And I don't know if they're moving upriver or back out, but they're definitely on the move.
I think they're on the move, and that's why the guys are having a hard time finding them.
When the snook hatch, and they're very, very, very tiny, they seem to go to an area, place, I don't know if it's genetically tuned or if they just happen to get to an area. But up until they get about 40 inches long, each year they will go to that spot, and they will be within a mile or so of that one particular area, half a mile usually either way, which is actually quite a bit of territory, but when you think about it, not a lot. But once the snook start getting in those high 30 inches, low 40 inches, all of a sudden that fish will take off, maybe go out to a reef in the Gulf.
Yeah, they become very nomadic.
North or south. And the little ones, no, they don't travel much, but the scientists are wrong. The researchers are dead wrong. They couldn't get it more wrong if I gave them a book on how to write it wrong. They say snook always go back. Only true up until they get to a certain size. And then I think they want to retire and go travel. I mean, they want to get in the Winnebago and go see the country and see where they go. But it's those big ones that head out. And they go to the reefs. They go traveling up and down the Gulf. And once they spawn out and it seems they hit that 40-inch mark, they may not ever come back in the harbor again. They might just leave and go somewhere else.
Or they never leave the harbor and stay there in that one spot at the 41 Bridge or Harbor Heights.
And I'm going to say up until they hit 40, they will go out, spawn, but they will always go back to that same area. Once they pick an area, that's where they seem to want to go back to. So if I catch a fish there and come back in the following year, that fish is going to be in that area at that time. Not once they get big. So that's why, again, Tallahassee, if you're listening, and I know you guys do, and thank you very much for it. Hate beating you up all the time, but let's get a few more right. You've done some good things, but we're working on the rest of them. 40-inch minimum snook on the West Coast. We want 40 and over, no more of the slots. We don't like catching the slot fish. They're fun. They're great.
Prime breeding size.
But they're the best breeders. We want more fish. And the only way we're ever going to have more fish, we catch and release 1 million snook a year on the West Coast of Florida. True figures. We have a 50-some percent get through the slot, highest of anywhere, yet we want it better. We want 100% of those fish making it to 40 inches. We don't want any mortality. You know, we don't want anybody to take any out of that slot. We want the slot pushed up, and let's take the old, the sick, and the weak. And before they leave, once they leave us, you know, okay, well, they're gone. Sorry, I don't care anymore. Right. I wish I could be more sympathetic, but no, I don't. I want to be catching, releasing 39.5, 39.75 inch snook all day.
Right.
That's my goal, is to have our tourists, our friends, our snowbirds who come here every year. They're part of our family, are part of our relationship. We want them to have that 39, 40 inch snook experience because there's nothing like it.
It'd be the premier fishing destination in the world if you had fish like that.
And the only way we're going to get it, the only way we are going to be truly great as we can be, is if Tallahassee will change that stupid law.
Absolutely.
Leave the East Coast the way it is. We don't care. They can't even reach minimum return. They've never hit ideal. We are way past ideal, and we need to be better than that. Us on the West Coast, we want to be the number one snook fishing destination in the world. Not that we aren't already, but we want bigger, better, more.
Absolutely.
So anyway, that's how we're going to do it. So anyway, back to where were we? I got lost.
we're going up to the 41 Bridge now. Right around the 41 Bridge, early morning bites been hit or miss for some snook and some tarpon and a few redfish. During the daytime, there's been some whiting, a few black drum, oddball Spanish mackerel, and an oddball shark, but very, very odd. That's kind of about it. It's been kind of slow up there. This whole week's been a little weird, and I think it's because of this transition is really kicking in that we're seeing fish moving a lot. So you're going to have your hot days and your cold days no matter where you're at in the harbor. But it's definitely been a little on the cooler side these last few days up on this end of the harbor.
Oh, yeah. The water, I mean, I'm wearing long pants for the last couple of days, so I'm telling you.
I got a long underwear shirt on today.
Yeah, it's not that it's cold by any stretch. Compared to everywhere else, yeah, we're just sissies, but, you know.
It's relative to where you live.
Yes, relative to where you live, and we live here, so we're wusses.
As you move up to the 75 Bridge, it's kind of the same. A few black drum, few small tarpon, some small snook.
Okay, you really want to feel like a wuss right now, Robert?
What?
It might be the AC in the store.
It's probably the AC.
Because it's blowing 14 miles an hour, steady, out of almost due east, and it's 82 degrees.
Right. But this place is like a little cave.
Yeah, this building, it's always colder or hotter than it is outside.
Absolutely.
But I was just looking at fishandfranks.com, weather and tides, live weather, which is connected to a live weather station on the Gasparilla Bridge, so you know instantly what is going on in the intercoastal right now. and 14 miles an hour out of the east, and it's 82 degrees. I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah. What a wuss. Hey,
come in this cave for a while.
Long pants on, and it's 82 degrees. Oh, my God.
Kind of funny.
Oh, yeah, I'm a wuss. All right, back to it.
The upper river's been a little slow, primarily a few tarpon here or there. Definitely worth looking for them if you're coming out of the Harbor Heights or over on the Punta Gorda side. You know, keep an eye out for those tarpon. I mean, there are some up there where it's worth watching for, and if you see them, make a few casts. Other than that, mainly you want to run your way down south. As you come back down over to the Port Charlotte side, you know, Port Charlotte's pretty much one and the same as PGI right now. It's a few mangrove snapper. Have been for hearing a few more sand bream over on the Port Charlotte side, along with the little croakers, some small black drum, a few snook, but other than that, it's been a little on the quiet side. The Port Charlotte beach, small mangrove snapper, few snook, few oddball redfish. Been a couple guys catching a couple small sharks off of there, but still real hit or miss on those guys. Moving over towards the mouth of the Myakka, you're starting to see a little bit of more snook activity again. It got quiet for a little while there. Been getting some more snook, but most of them are small. Haven't heard of any of the real big ones again, so I don't know where they moved to. Like you were just saying, they might have moved offshore or wherever.
But I'm going to tell you, I've got a lot of guys where I was working on one of my trailers. And one of my buddies, Jeff, who lives out in Gulf Cove, was in. There's so many snook out there right now. It's crazy in Gulf Cove.
Yeah, definitely.
Gulf Cove, all they're talking about is snook. And bass fishing back in the back, they're finding the bass because they're using the snook lures.
Right.
And they're catching snook and bass. And if you get to the backside, any of those back canals over there in Gulf Cove and South Gulf Cove, you got tons of snook. If you're in South Gulf Cove behind the locks, once you get back up, closer to 771, you're going to start catching bass and snook one cast. Better to have freshwater and saltwater licenses. Just keep in mind that if you do have only a saltwater license, keep the boat moving, because if you catch a bass and you let him go, you did not break the law with not having a freshwater license.
Right.
You have to be there snook fishing. And if you get stopped by a game warden, you have to be very specific and say, I am, you know, catch and releasing snook. But if you, in a spot, you catch a bass, you cast back to that spot and catch another bass, that is intentionally fishing for that bass, and you will get a ticket. And it is mandatory court appearance and the whole bit. So it's not like, okay, here's your fine.
Right.
You get fined, plus you have to go to court, and it's all this other mess. It's just not worth it. So keep moving. Don't stop. If you're, you know, casting for snook and you catch a snook and you let him go, and you go down, you catch a bass, you let him go, you catch a snook, you catch a bass, you're not breaking the law because you're snook fishing and this is a bycatch.
Right.
But intentionally fishing for the bass will get you a heck of a fine, because if you don't have a freshwater license. So be very careful when someone stops you and say, if you're there with a saltwater license, say, I'm snook fishing, not fishing. Because if you are fishing, you have to have a freshwater and a saltwater license there. Welcome to Florida, the land of the dumbest freaking laws on the planet.
Yeah.
I don't know. We were talking about this morning. This is the most embarrassing place, government-wise. Now, at least, you know, you go to New York or Jersey or Ohio or Chicago, at least they're outright crooks. They're in it for the money. They're stealing. And we get it. Okay, if you want to build up a building, here, you got to pay the guy. Here's your bribe. Okay, now you can go to work. But down here, they just mess with you because they're stupid. They just don't know any better. They're not even looking for money. It just kills me. So anyway, you know, all right, what can I say? You know, most of our politicians are honest, just dumber than a bag of rocks. So
no such thing as an honest politician.
Yeah, well, that's true too. But, you know, at least I understand crooked ones.
Right.
Okay, give me the money, I'll go away. All right.
Exactly.
But down here, you don't know. So anyway, back to the fishing. We're in Gulf Cove, and bass, snook, all kinds of stuff.
Some juvenile tarpon. And that speaks for the west wall, too. You know, when the Gulf Cove starts to light up, that usually means the west wall is starting to get a little bit more activity, too. Because a lot of those little tiny creeks that are inaccessible to a boat are still accessible by fish. So you're starting to see some fish moving up the west wall a little bit more. It's still not gangbusters by any stretch, but you are starting to see some more activity. The redfish and the snook are starting to pile up a little bit over there. Pompano out along the on top of the bar. Lots of bonnet heads on the southern end of it. You know, you're starting to just see a little bit more activity overall. So that's a very, very good thing. But as you get further south, closer towards Cape Hayes, definitely more and more fish become more and more abundant. Starting to see a little bit more activity also inside Turtle Bay now. A few more reports this week as, you know, once you get around Cape Hayes there, that's where the life really seems to kick off. Turtle Bay getting a few more trout, quite a few more redfish, a good mix of snook. The bonnethead sharks there again, kind of all over the place. But on the oyster bar right out front of Turtle Bay and on the Cape Hayes bar, I've had some reports both of some really big redfish, 30, 34 inch redfish cruising along that bar there, which is something I don't hear of very often.
On the west?
On the Cape Hayes bar, on the really? On the Boca Grande side.
I'll be darned.
You know, I very seldom hear of that, but I've had two different guys say that they got fish off of the bar while they're out there looking for pompano and flounder.
Very cool.
So that's kind of neat. Been a few bigger sharks there, too. There's been a couple, like, 4 and 5 foot black tips. A lot of the smaller sharks there, too, but kind of a mixed bag. Cape Hayes Reef, Spanish mackerel, mangrove snapper, small undersized gags, occasional jewfish, Goliath grouper. Kind of a little bit of hit or miss there. That seems to really get a little bit better on that incoming tide with that salt water. Kind of either lights up the fish. Not real sure. But it's definitely been a little bit more productive that way. Working the bar from Turtle Bay over to Devilfish all the way around in front of Bull Bay and everything. Lots of pompano scattered out there. Some flounder still scattered around. Oddball snook, redfish. And there's groups of snook coming in and out of there. You know, we already said they've moved, that they're moving around a lot, so you're seeing a good flow of fish throughout the entire day cruising that little edge of that drop off along the sandbar there. Devilfish is still loaded with a lot of bait. Pinfish are starting to get a little bit more abundant there. Lots and lots of white bait. And as usual, it's always a great place just to sit down and anchor and fish for a variety of stuff. I mean, the red, snook, snapper, trout, little sharks. I mean, it's already pre-chummed. I mean, you've got so much life around there that it's worth fishing it. And if it gets a little slow, pull up anchor or pull your stick at pin and move over 50 yards and try it again. Because, I mean, those fish are moving all around that whole whole grass flat there. It's just lot of life.
I'm so lost today, and I apologize to anybody listening. What was going on up by Lemon Bay, around that area up there?
Lemon Bay, we were just going to start to work our way around there through Placido. You want me to start up there and we'll come back
down? Yeah,
give
me some Lemon Bay stuff.
Lemon Bay, you know, right there going up into Lemon Bay, there's been a lot of trout on the outside edges along the grass flats, some pretty decent redfish underneath the docks, and some snook. A lot of mangrove snapper, too, in those deeper sand holes and along the docks. I've been getting some pretty good reports on them. That's about it up inside there. I've been getting a lot of good Spanish and a few bluefish right there in Stump Pass with a few pompano. But it seems, and it didn't seem whether it's incoming or outgoing there for some reason. It's just they're coming in and going in and out in little spurts. I think they're just following the bait as they're coming in.
Makes sense. I mean,
It's been a little funky, but, I mean, the one guy told me he got some fish on an outgoing tide. Another guy told me he creamed them on the incoming tide. So I think they're just following the bait. You know, we're seeing that seeing that transition period coming along. So it's making it really pretty cool. As you're working your way down through Lemon Bay a little bit, I would troll. You know, troll a little bit for those Spanish mackerel or the occasional bluefish. And you never know when you're going to get into those schools of big redfish, because there's always some big redfish around right now, and they're going to be moving in and out with their small loose schools or giant schools. They'll whack a spoon or a small lip plug as you're trolling it along, especially through that mile-long idle zone there.
Right.
It's worth giving it a try. You're already going anyway. Who cares? Go slow and just throw it out there. The backside of Little Gasparilla, lots and lots and lots of snook. Hearing some really good reports there. and some pretty big mangrove snapper there at night. Those guys, a couple guys that are out there snook fishing, have been pitching those docks with some shrimp and pinfish and getting some 16 and 17 inch mangrove snapper while they're fishing for the snook. A few guys are seeing some big redfish but not catching them right there off those docks. The Placida trestle during the daytime, Spanish mackerel, bonnet head sharks, occasional flounder. Guys are starting to see some sheep's head moving around, but they're seeing them and catching a couple one day and then not seeing anything for the next 2 days and then seeing a few more again. It's starting to happen, but just not quite super there yet. The night fishing still has been the most consistent for your legal size snook and some bigger mangrove snapper. Occasional bull red also. As you move down to like catfish, all the white pelicans are here. The big pelicans
really?
Are here. Yep.
I've
had quite a few people tell me about them, that they've been seeing them more in the last 2 weeks.
When you see the pelicans, and pelicans are some of my favorite birds, I call them Hey Dopey.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they remind you of, you know, that cartoon character, oh, yep, George, okay, George, which way you want to go, George? I mean, they're so dopey. They're just absolutely a lovable bird. They're a pain in the butt, but they're absolutely a lovable bird. I've actually had them fly in my boat, land on the gunwale, jump in, and while I was doing charters, and it was always great when kids were on the boat, because here's this bird would come right up, sit there, and they would give him bait out of live well, and I'd say, okay, don't worry, he'll fly away once we move to the next spot. He'll just, as soon as the boat, I've actually had him ride with me all day.
Yeah.
And literally had to pick him up and toss him out of the boat, you know, because they were just having fun with people, you know, just hanging out with us. And I mean, that happened enough where it I think they knew my boat, you know what I mean? I think birds have shape, color, size recognition or whatever, and I have a very distinctive boat anyway, so yeah. I think just the
they learn very well. I mean, they get imprinted very easily.
Yeah, birds are what, about as smart as a 2 or 3 year old, something like that, and they learn real quick.
Yeah.
Cry, mom comes, you know.
Yeah.
And it's the same basic thing. They'd see my boat and they would just literally, they wouldn't sit next to it, they would literally land in it.
Nice.
And watch a pelican land.
You've got an aircraft carrier for a boat, though. I mean, let's face it. I mean, an albatross could land in it and take off from it safely.
Yeah.
So. You know, which is great. I mean, I think it's one of the best riding hulls and the most comfortable hulls to walk around in, so I could see why a pelican would have no problem stopping and hanging out.
Oh, yeah. I own 2 of the only 9 ever built, so... And I really would like the 3rd just in case. But I'm getting old enough now. I think this one will last another few years, then I'll put the other one together. But
there you go.
I'm going to start putting together now while I still have a little bit of money.
Right.
You know, before I run out of everything. But anyway, what were we talking about? I'm sorry, I got off the track. I think Dopey is a wonderful bird.
They are. They're awesome.
Yeah. Pelicans, I'm sorry.
Yeah. From Catfish Creek all the way down to the topside of Bull Bay, all those flats right there, you're getting quite a few small sharks, a lot of individual redfish, some fair snook. Haven't heard a lot of great reports on snook. The trout. Trout are starting to move in along with the Spanish mackerel along that deeper edge there from the clam fields out to the actual drop off into the intercoastal.
George, we're going to do that fish there.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of guys are just drifting along that flat in like 4 to 5 feet of water and picking up some good fish. and then they're also.
You can come in, Carl. What's up?
Looking for Land
Sea Book. Oh, I don't know where the catalogs are. Sorry.
It's all right.
Anyway, go ahead.
And then if you cruise over to the other side on the backside of Boca Grande, it's kind of the same thing along the edge of that intercoastal, some bigger trout. Not a lot of them, but a few more, you know, better quality fish anyway. A lot of small sharks over there. There has been a few cobia and a few tarpon right there on the outside edge of the Three Sisters. Had several guys saying they're seeing them or catching them there. Just not big ones. I don't know why they're there, but that's... What I had, a guy had a banner day. They hooked like 2 little juvenile tarpon and had like 4 or 5 cobia on and brought 2 into the boat. So it's kind of worth mentioning to keep an eye out over there. Other than that, coming up through the center of the harbor, you know, like I said, we've got the tarpon are everywhere, the Spanish mackerel, lots and lots of bait fish. Look for the birds. Look for the scum lines. That's been really, really productive in either troll for the Spanish or just a nice drift and blind cast with your spoons or little jigs and just kind of work them along. Experiment with your speed. Other than that, I think we kind of covered most of it.
Okay. Well, I know it was kind of chaotic and
yeah, it was kind of quick and jumped all over the place.
Jumped all over the place, but we will get better at this. We've only been doing it a year or so, so you know, it takes us time to get into
this.
But is there anything else we should go over today?
Bass fishing. Bass fishing has been really slow for the last couple weeks, but we're just now starting to get a few more positive reports this week. Still not gangbusters yet, but you are starting to see that on the upswing too. So I would start, you know, if you're out playing around and it's going to be too windy for you, depending on what the wind's going to be doing this weekend, stop and check out some of your freshwater lakes because the bass are just starting to get a little better. Crappie are still not doing very well. It's cold in the air, but the water's still too warm. But the bluegill are still doing pretty well at most of the areas, especially if you can find a little bit of moving water over some of the spill dams and stuff. Been a little bit more concentration of the bluegill there, so it's worth checking that out.
Cool. I still enjoy freshwater fishing.
I love it.
I mean, it's been one of those things where you get out there and it's a whole different smell and feel than the saltwater. I mean, I would never want to have to choose between them. I'd probably stay with the saltwater for the variety and the veracity, but it's, I guess because I grew up as a freshwater fisherman doing bass and pike and muskie and, you know, yellow perch and all that kind of stuff.
Brings you back to your youth.
Yeah. You know, catching bluegills. Me and I had a good sized dog and golden retriever, and we would go down and I'd take the shotgun and fishing pole, and we could go down and, you know, catch bluegills in the creek and put them on a stick over the campfire, and, you know, ducks would come over and we'd shoot ducks, and, you know, I grew up that
just
way.
Just good memories.
Yeah, I grew up that way. So, you know, and where we lived, there wasn't a lot of people for a long ways, you know, so me and the dog. Anyway, because you never wanted to invite your sister.
No.
You know,
no.
Just for some reason or another, I don't care where a girl grows up. Very few of them. Very few, but there are a lot of them. But I think when they're young, especially, you know, many, many decades ago, they weren't encouraged like they are now to hunt and fish.
Right.
Nowadays, the girls are, I mean,
more outdoorsy than some of the guys.
Oh, way more than little girls usually. When they like it, they're just totally
they're
into
hooked
it.
Into
yeah,
it.
We see so many little. It's the most common thing to see is dad with the daughter.
Yeah,
we always think is dad taking the son fishing.
Nope, role's been completely reversed on that one.
Well, I think because little girls love spending time with dad, and they go there, and if they hold on to the fishing pole and stand there, they can spend a lot of time with dad, and that's what they want out of it.
Right.
And the little boy, he fishes for about 2 minutes or so, and then he's pulling rocks over, and then he's playing in the bait bucket, and then he goes back, he picks up the fishing pole for 15 seconds, and he puts it down, he's crawling, trying to get in the water, you know. I mean, they're just kind of everywhere, and it seems like the little girls, if they can spend time with dad, they will just stand there for hours, and then they start catching fish and get into it.
Right.
But I think that's the only thing I can think of, but it's something about little girls wanting to be with dad like that. So, guys, I know you always wanted to have your son, and you always thought about, you know, I'm going to have a son, I'm going to teach him to fish. And that will probably happen, but probably not until he's a little bit older. But your little girl, try taking the daughter out one day, and I think you're going to be really surprised at what happens.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, Fish and Frank here in the chair, Robert and chair across from me, one mixed up, mashed up, muddled up area fishing report here today, but we're trying to get 18 things done, and we're still getting caught up because, you know, me being out for a while, is just everything's kind of going crazy. But anyway, we got to get going, and we will catch you guys in the next Radio Fishing. Thank you so much for being a part of it, and we're going to try and get some more stuff up this weekend and get everything back on track. It just keeps I feel like I'm running in quicksand.
That's a good way to put it. I like
a sand dune, you know, because I'm keep running forward, but sometimes I keep going backwards and I get caught up.
Running on a sand dune. I like that. That's a very, very good description.
Kind of where it is, but thank God it is. Yeah. I mean, it could be worse. I could be sitting here and we could have nothing to do, but the store's busy. We're busy. I mean, everything's going on, and thank you guys so much for that. We really appreciate your help and your support and your patronage. And thanks again for listening. Fish and Frank and Robert, we'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.